After a diplomatic stab in the back, President Trump sits down today with Theresa May for bilateral trade talks. This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Now, as I speak, protesters are gathering outside our offices, the BBC's London headquarters, for a march against President Trump. It's one of many planned today around the country. The president's arrival yesterday was met with protests in central London, too, as he stopped briefly at the U.S. ambassador's residence.
Say it loud, say it clear!
Now, he may have also worn out his welcome at Prime Minister Theresa May's country home retreat, Chequers, after giving The Sun tabloid an interview last night in which he said Mrs. May's Brexit blueprint is likely to, quote, kill any U.S. deal. He called her handling of Brexit talks very unfortunate and said her foreign minister who resigned this week, Boris Johnson, would be a great prime minister. The reaction here in Britain has been outrage. Emily Thornberry is the Labour opposition's foreign affairs spokesperson.
I would say to him, how dare you insult our country? You're here as our guest. Did your mother teach you nothing? You're not supposed to go to other people's houses and insult your host.
But the Conservative MP Jacob Rees-Mogg compares Mr. Trump's visit this week to when Barack Obama visited before the Brexit referendum in 2016.
Barack Obama came over just before an election to try and bully us into doing what the United States wanted. What Mr. Trump is saying is that if the UK goes ahead with this deal, the chances for a trade deal with the US are very low.
So what does all this mean for US-UK trade? Well, Emmanuel Adam is Director of Policy at British American Business, a networking and advocacy group based in New York and London.
The US-UK trade and investment relationship is one of the most important economic relationships in the world. And this relationship, because it sits so centrally in the world, interacts and depends also on the wider world trading system.
Now, given what happened late last night, I mean, it couldn't really be a more treacherous act. What would you now expect to come out of these bilateral talks?
You know, we know the US president and the way he communicates, and you can certainly question as to whether his approach was right or wrong. But actually, when you look at what he had said in the interview with The Sun last night, it is actually quite reasonable, because what the president was saying was, if the UK decides to stay aligned with the EU on goods and including on the regulatory side, that will limit the scope for whatever it is that the UK can do with the US going forward.
Even before you get to those post-Brexit plans, though, you've got tariffs that the US has been imposing even on its allies. So isn't that damaging transatlantic trade?
So in a way it is, because the UK being part of the EU is subject to the tariffs on steel and aluminum. At the same time, the discussion on a trade agreement is somewhat disconnected. I think the tariff discussion has its roots in the frustration, which is the overcapacity of steel and aluminum in China. And now it's trying to force its partners to the negotiation table. That, of course, has an impact on the current relationship with the UK, but it is different from what's currently happening on the UK-US trade and investment discussion going forward towards a free trade deal.
Emmanuel Adam, let's do the numbers. The British pound is lower against the dollar and the euro after Mr. Trump dashed hopes of that special post-Brexit trade deal. Meanwhile, global stock markets are broadly higher to end the week. China's trade surplus with the U.S. hit a record high in June, according to data out today. Chinese exports rose more than 13% in the first half of 2018 compared to the year before. So what does this mean in the context of the ongoing trade war? Freya Beamish is chief Asia economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics.
The surplus jumped because the growth in imports slowed very dramatically. First of all, Chinese domestic demand is slowing, at least in the June data set, imports excluding commodities. So we're thinking about private consumption slowing, basically. And that chimes well with the slowdown that we've seen in retail sales data. The second is perhaps a kind of an anticipation of the trade tensions building, because a lot of imports are actually destined for re-export still. So it could be in anticipation of tariffs that there's a kind of a leading effect on imports. But at this stage, I'm less convinced by that side of things. At this stage, it's more about Chinese growth slowing as a result of the tightening of monetary conditions and the attempt to deleverage within China.
So you don't think it will have any political implications?
It definitely will have political implications, because it seems like Mr. Trump is willing to jump on anything, regardless of the underlying rationality of why the data may or may not be doing what it's doing. I don't see how Mr. Trump can actually impose the tariffs that he's threatening to impose, because if he actually were to impose those tariffs, there would be a huge upshoot in CPI inflation in the US right before the midterms happens. People would notice that immediately. The tariffs that he's put on washing machines led to a huge upshoot in the price of washing machines in the US. On a 3-month annualized basis, washing machines in the US have risen by 87%. And that makes me think that there will be at least some kind of a climb down. We won't see the entirety of these tariffs being imposed.
Looking ahead at China, do we expect to see a slowdown because of this trade war?
I think probably by the time we get to Q3, there will be a small impact that you won't really be able to differentiate from what everything else that's going on. I expect Chinese growth to be slowing anyway because of that tightening of monetary conditions. The leading indicators are pointing to a serious slowdown in Chinese GDP growth, so that anyway, I'm expecting growth to be below 5% this year, although we won't see that published on the official data. But in terms of the impact of trade wars, I think probably that would shave about 0.1 percentage points off of growth in Q3. It's more now kind of going forward, the uncertainty element that's the real problem rather than the direct impact.
Freya Beamish, finally, a lottery win in Canada is causing a family feud. The woman who won has promised to sue her nephew for his half of the nearly $1 million. Both their names were on the winning ticket, but she says she never promised to split the jackpot. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.